You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Okay, let's do some quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. That's obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. To reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Here's the thing. Information is power. Information is money. Literally, the currency of today's world of entrepreneurship is information. And if you could bring all of the information about your business into one dashboard, this is incredibly valuable. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of the truth about your business. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. This is so valuable. You just hit a button and you can see all the information about your business instead of having to like call five different departments and get all these emails and put it all together and make sense of it. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/James. netsuite.com/James. netsuite.com/James.
This isn't your average business podcast, and he's not your average host. This is the James Altucher Show. Today on the James Altucher Show.
People are leaving the major cities, the third, fourth, second tier cities, and I saw this firsthand. I spent some time in the Miami area, and I could not believe what was happening. Prices in Miami, even on rentals, went up 50%. So I first went down there in like July or August 2020. I rented a place for a year. The second year, they wanted to raise the rent 50%. And I talked to other people, housing prices for buying and renting were all up between 30 and even 100%. I couldn't believe it. I started getting curious, what's gonna be the next Miami? And people were telling me the same thing about Austin. So I started doing a research and I spoke to a guy, Bill Jackson, who worked for Reliable Moving and Storage, part of Allied Moving, and has offices all over the country. And he had a lot of interesting things to say about where he said, I've never seen anything like this. People are swamped with calls, people moving. Well, and I said, hey, can you come on my podcast? Tell me where people are moving to, because I want to know not only for maybe where should I live or where should I check out, but also maybe where should I invest? And it started to even influence my views on real estate a little bit. And we're starting a new series next week called I Was Wrong. And the first subject I am going to talk about where I might have been wrong, but might maybe not, is home ownership. But for now, let's ask Bill Jackson from Reliable Moving and Storage where people are moving. Here's Bill. This past year, were people moving less or more?
More.
Really? You would think that they would just be locked down. I mean, everybody was locked down for a year. You would think that they would wait and see what happens. But where were they moving from and where were they moving to in general? Like, were they moving from cities to rural, cities to suburbs, suburbs to cities?
I work in the metropolitan area. You know, New York City is in our backyard, but we do a lot of Connecticut. So this area is super saturated with people. And most of my customers are going to different states, south, very heavy south. It's been funny, a lot of Tennessee in the last year, a lot of Tennessee customers, a lot of Texas. So that traffic lane has been very predominant. But south is the king. I would say Texas and like Kentucky and you know, Tennessee in that area is probably third from my marketplace right now.
So I remember there was this time last summer in New York City where you literally couldn't rent a U-Haul. So many people were moving and there was congestion on the bridges from all the moving trucks. But I always assumed they would come back. So, and I want to talk about other cities as well, because I think the same phenomenon is occurring in San Francisco, LA, Chicago, other cities that you may or may not be aware of. I know you work in the metropolitan area, but is this more than usual in the summer? Like what's been unusual during this time in terms of moving?
Well, the volume of business since the pandemic started in March 2020, has been phenomenal for me, because I used to go out and do the estimates in the customers' homes. And now I'm sitting in my own house for a year and a half now, and I'm doing probably 95% of all my estimates virtual. So I kind of have a new job for someone my age right now. I mean, I'm not a kid, I'm 64, but I've been moving people forever, but I always went out to the homes. So to me, the adjustments that I had to make were doing all visual, because, you know, everyone was wearing masks and this and that and no vaccinations. And it was just crazy last year. But the exodus was tremendous from the tri-state area. Just to give you an example, I had my best sales year ever in sales last year. And I did most of my jobs sitting on my own chair in my own luxury of my house, you know, wearing just a golf shirt and not having to drive 150 miles and paying all kinds of parking costs in the city to drive in and meet people. So it's been crazy busy for us as a bigger professional mover. But all the movers were crazy busy last year. And the wave has continued through this year and is continuing through the fall. Generally, the phones kind of slow up in the winter months and certainly into like the fall. But we are as busy as we are now as we are in our normal summer period.
I feel like that's insane, because people usually like to move before September, because if they have kids, they want their kids settled in school. So why is it the same level now? Is it because kids are going to school remote? But I think kids are going back to school now.
Well, every school system is dealing with all these masks and, you know, the COVID problems here. But the reality is that the people who can move their family and not have an interruption in their finances, and they can work from their houses, are doing exactly that. They're not working in the city. They're not having to go in, you know, and they're doing Zoom meetings and all this other kind of stuff here. And a lot of people obviously still are being kind of corporately move, but maybe not in the same volume. So a lot of people are opting to leave on their own dime. They're just saying, I don't need to work in the city. I can live in, you know, Austin, a big, big area, Austin, a lot of people in Austin. But it's just been very unusual to have this business phase happen for a year and a half right now. Like I said, I had my best sales year ever in sales last year. And I was happy for that, because I thought it was going to be a bad year because I couldn't go out and see people. Right. I mean, that was my bread and butter, was going out and talking to you and shaking your hand. And, you know, and then you'd get to meet me on a one-on-one basis. Well, now you're meeting me virtually on a one-on-one basis. And that's what I did when I met, you know, your daughter and your home in New York City. I mean, I did a virtual FaceTime at the apartment on a Saturday morning. And you obviously have a lovely apartment there, but like that was normal business for me last year. Now I'm just walking, you know, you're walking, I'm counting, go back here and remeasure this and doing that. So a lot of the impetus has been on the customers to kind of help me along so that I give good, accurate estimates, so we're not having major problems with the drivers. So I made adjustments in my business last year to keep this going, but I've been really happy with how things have worked out for me personally and doing this virtual, because I'm having very few problems.
So what are people saying? Like, are they typically, I mean, I know people don't always have to give you a reason to move, but they just say, hey, we're moving. But what are people saying? Like, why are so many people moving?
Well, to be able to, again, work at a different state and have the same income, and they don't have to commute anymore, and quality of life, not saying that the city doesn't have great things, but I've lived in New Jersey my whole life. I live in a town called Scotch Plains, but from my house into the city.
I used to live in Scotch Plains. When I was 5 years old, I lived in Scotch Plains. Yeah.
Are you kidding?
No, I was, it was the second home my family lived in with me.
No kidding. Wow. Small world. Well, yeah. I grew up in North Plainfield, now live with my family in Scotch Plains, and the ability for people to leave here. I'll give you a classic example. One of our sales guys last year, he left Northern Jersey, sold his house. He moved to Raleigh, bought a bigger house for like hardly any money, took his kids out of school. He has a young daughter. I think she's only like 5. Anyway, but the point is that he says, I'm going to leave. I don't have to pay the high taxes. I don't have to worry about commuting anymore. And now I relocated. He moved down to Raleigh last year, and he's doing great because all of his estimates are virtual. He's a real good salesperson, knows his job really well. But he just said, I don't have to live here. I can move my family to a place where I can have a great home, low taxes, and I can still do my job and still get my same wages as I now live in Raleigh versus and he was living outside of Montclair.
They're not just moving like from the city to a suburb like Central New Jersey or the Jersey Shore, because then you still get let's say the Jersey Shore, you still get maybe the beach and maybe better quality of life depending on what you like. But just in case they want the workers back, you're still commutable to New York City.
I know a lot of folks have bought houses who've relocated from the city. There's a gentleman who bought a house right behind me. And he lives, I think he's still got a place in Hoboken, but he now is living here probably 90% of the time. And you know, he's got a yard, you know, he's got a 2-car garage, you know, he doesn't have parking problems living in Hoboken. You know, Hoboken is crazy in Hoboken, there's parking. And the Jersey Shore is the Jersey Shore. You can't beat the Jersey Shore. So a lot of people are doing that. And you're right. If they want to go back to work in the city, hop on the train, go in there, or take the fast ferry out of the Highlands and get in there. But the marketplace here, the houses this past year going up and they're selling in like days or hours. So
what about how's the real estate market in New York City? So I keep reading these articles, but they're usually made by real estate sites, so they might be biased. What they always say, oh, the median sales price is the highest it's ever been. But what's the story? Are people able to sell their houses? Are they renting their apartments? Like, what are they doing?
You know, I don't ask a lot of questions like that because it's obviously none of my business what they're doing or why they're doing it. But I mean, because the volume of available housing is now the greatest because people are getting out like crazy or have been for a year and a half. I mean, I'm sure this is going to maybe turn around in a year or two, but you know, you're not having the same opportunity with now the COVID coming back on here, you know, we're wearing more masks, maybe more places will shut down or have a capacity problem. I know you have the comedy store there and, you know, maybe you're only open up so many days a week here, but I don't have the pulse of the real estate market where I can say, hey, you know, this is what's going on here. I mean, obviously still people are still doing business in the city and doing the thing, but I know the way that my business curve has been going on. I did some statistics. If you were maybe interested, I can throw a couple numbers out to you.
Yeah.
So this is my own chart for this year. And these are only New York City jobs that I did. I estimated a total of 127 customers this year.
That
127. Now I do kinetic that have called to get an estimate and have relocated.
That's all, like, so presumably, you know, there's many moving companies. You're one of them.
Yes.
What's really important is is 127 like 5% higher, 50% higher? What's a normal number for a year?
Well, I just kind of took the city because I thought maybe this would be something that might help a little bit. But last year I did from my own house, I believe it was 575 FaceTime estimates.
Right. So what about the year before that? Just roughly. I know you don't have the exact number.
The year before that, I did maybe, let's say, 450.
Okay. So it's like 20% higher.
Right. So
which is huge.
That 20% increase obviously made my revenue go up too, because I had my best year ever. But I saw more customers because I didn't have to drive. And all that downtown driving between stops saved my company, obviously, money and, you know, tolls and everything. You know, time is money.
So, all right. So the question is, would you, let's say you had been remote the year before, like you are now, virtually the year before, do you think you would have done that many? Do you think there's been growth in the number of movers?
Well, the number of movers has stayed the same. I think people have started to shop more around because they don't have people coming to the houses. They still kind of are getting three estimates, sometimes four, but they're generally getting the name representative moving companies, the top tier. Allied is obviously a top tier company. I mean, everyone knows Allied since they've been in business since 1928. The company is still competing with the marketplace, but there are still people that are hiring, you know, little Joey's mover, and Joey and his two brothers are moving in from, you know, Scarsdale to, you know, the Jersey Shore. Well, we can't compete with those little guys like that. But I know right now, the way the phones have been going and the internet activity, we've been super busy. And the wave of business is still pushing out here. They're speculating that the October, November, December slot, which is generally fairly slow, is not going to be slow. And then supply and demand, just like anything else, you know, they're keeping their prices on par with the other major vendors here. And, you know, it's been a really good year and a half. If you're a mover in this tri-state area, if you haven't had a good year and a half, something's wrong with you.
So you said last year they were moving a lot to Austin and the South. Like, I know Miami had a nonstop flood of people from New York. Do you see these people right now? What percentage of them do you think are moving back? Like, how many of these moves are temporary?
Well, you know, because everyone can still work remotely, I don't have statistics on people coming out of Florida. I know a lot of people, when they get down here for maybe a year and they don't realize how really hot it is in the summer months. It's great when you're a snowbird, you know, when it's freezing cold up there and it's, you know, 75 there. But I can't give you a statistic personally on letting you know that if we moved 100 families down there in the year, you know, 10% came back up. I know people do leave and they come back every so often. But, you know, it's probably more that the people didn't maybe acclimate to the temperatures down there, because it's humid all year round down, other than like January and February, you know? And so I don't know if it's more of an economic reason, because, you know, Florida, as you know, there's the tax whole structure is different here, and people go down there and, you know, can live like a king and, you know, buy a really nice place and have hardly any taxes at all.
Well, I do know, like, real estate prices in the Miami area, I don't know the exact percentage they've gone up, but it seems like over the past year, they've gone up considerably. Like, I was renting a place and the landlord actually wanted to increase the rent 50% year over year. And
that's crazy. That's crazy.
I've never even seen that before. So you mentioned Austin, but I feel like maybe Austin, Miami, they, and maybe not, but I feel like they had their move, like people already moved to those places and now they're looking for the next tier. Like you mentioned Tennessee, so that's probably like Nashville.
Yep.
You mentioned Raleigh. What are some other cities you're seeing pop up now in your search?
Well,
in people moving?
We're doing a lot to the Carolinas all the time. Area in the Charleston area, Mount Pleasant, Lufkin, South Carolina. South Carolina. There's a lot of folks. We get a lot of customers still gravitating to the shore down that, even with the hurricanes and stuff, but it's a nice area to live. They just got to deal with all the hurricane problems, but that's always popular. Obviously Atlanta, where we're just, you know, we moved you in there. That's always a hot spot area, real hot marketplace. Raleigh, Durham, crazy busy in that area too, but still anywhere in that southern region, you're getting kind of south of Maryland, get a lot of Virginia customers, a lot of Delaware customers. You know, you can live down in Delaware and, you know, buy a real nice house down there for hardly anything. The taxes down there are nothing. As you were saying, with the Miami marketplace, James, as you know, that market got so hot and everyone jacked the prices up here. And that's what happens here. These houses were going on sale and hours later they were gone. I moved a good buddy of mine down to the area called the Villages, which is northwest of Orlando. He had a real estate agent, and every time a new house came up, he was getting a call and you just missed out. And he finally said, I am going to not miss out. And the next place came up there, he says, say, buy it. And he bought it and he had to go through, I don't know how many different people were bidding on the same thing, but he finally got his house. I moved him down there in July and, you know, he paid top dollar for this. He was retired. But that old marketplace is going crazy down there. And what's going on, people are selling the houses super fast up here. And then they're going down to areas that don't have the available marketplace anymore. The availability of the houses has shrunk because they're selling so fast. Our storage clients have gone crazy. So you go down to Florida and you say, well, I got a store for 3 months and I want to store in West Palm Beach. Well, of course, we have an Allied office down there. And we call down there and they're like, we can't take any more customers. We're at full capacity. Well, that's never happened. We're at warehouses at full capacity in Florida.
So I wonder if that suggests that it's temporary, like people are just storing stuff while they're, you know, away for the winter. Or I wonder how much of these moves are permanent.
Well, a lot of the customers that I deal with are retiring type of family. I move a lot of retirement people and they're down there for their last hurrah. That's like their last big move. But the idea is that the self-storage companies are now gaining because the movers are at a point where if they are having availability, they've jacked up their storage prices. They jacked up the redelivery prices. And I've been storing customers here and then shipping them down. But a lot of people have said because the available inventory of housing has gone down, they're putting the furniture in storage and they're going to wait 6 months or a year. And hopefully maybe in 2022, it'll kind of calm down and go back down because, you know, those folks who sold houses last year made a good buck on it because the housing prices were just going into bidding wars.
You mean like in other areas, like in the South or wherever?
Yeah, Florida. I mean, here in New Jersey, I mean, it's not uncommon for houses to have two or three bids higher than the marketplace. I got two good buddies of mine, are real estate agents here in town, and one works for Coldwell Banker, one works for ERA Real Estate. And, you know, they were like, they're selling houses like hotcakes around here. They're going a dime a dozen. Goes on the marketplace, sold.
You mentioned people in New York City are selling pretty fast. Like, I'm wondering, for everybody moving out, is someone moving in?
Yes.
So there's still a lot of people moving to New York City.
I don't know so much in, because again, I don't know the real estate market in the city as far as talking to any real estate agents, but I know that the availability of housing, there's probably a glut of available residents to lease or rent or buy in the city than they've ever had before, because the glut has been moving out. And I'm one of five full-time salespeople out of our office, and I get my share of leads, but I can't handle every single customer that comes in. It'd be impossible. But I just know under my own statistics last year that we get a lot of calls from, you know, Connecticut, and I didn't put them in there. And I'm covering this general marketplace. But, you know, I moved people from Arizona to California, which I did about 2 months ago. It was a referral that I got from a guy, and he said, call my buddy in Arizona. I moved him from Phoenix over to an area called Dana Point, which is a nice area in California.
Are people moving into the cities? You know, I know in some cases, like investment companies are buying real estate in some of these cities, but are a lot of people moving from, I don't know, like Austin to LA or Austin to New York?
I think more people are leaving the city in droves than coming into the city. I don't have statistics, but I can tell you that. I can only say that I'm not talking to anybody that's moving into the city. Very rarely right now am I getting a New Jersey customer from Westfield saying, I want to go from Westfield into Manhattan. Well, fine. I mean, I can do that move. It's a local move, but, you know, still going to pay high taxes. It's high taxes in New Jersey too. We're the highest tax state in the country. So, you know, if they live in this marketplace and they can go in there, they're still kind of on a par with the tax basis. It's just that, you know, as you know, you own businesses, you deal with a lot of, you know, corporate people. You know, I'm sure the marketplace for available purchases are good if you got the coin, but now you got to obviously get the people to come back into the city, you know, unless they're going to work remotely.
You
Yes, it's totally true. Airbnb has changed my life. If anything, they have made my life so much better. Like, I used to live in Airbnbs. I lived in over 100 or 200 different Airbnbs over a 3-year period, and I loved it. I became a really good guest of Airbnbs, and I got to know lots of hosts. So when I initially owned a house, I, of course, the first thing I thought was, I'm going to turn my house into an Airbnb because I travel a lot. So why leave my house unused when I can make a side income by letting others Airbnb my house or come to stay in my house as guests? And having my own Airbnb or being a host for Airbnb has allowed me to do just that. And I've met other hosts. I've actually spoken at Airbnb's host conference. I think it was in 2017. I met so many just nice hosts. It's a great community. And I love, you know, turning my own home into an Airbnb. Like, I'm traveling to Austin next month. My home's going to be an Airbnb while I'm away, and I'll stay in an Airbnb. I'd rather stay in like a 3-story house Airbnb than in one tiny hotel room in the middle of Austin during South by Southwest. So listen, while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who are just letting their house sit empty, who've never thought about it or didn't realize their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle and is a great way to earn some extra money. So if you have a home, but you're not always at home, then you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. I remember last year I was asked to go speak at the Norway Business Summit, and I was so excited because side by side with the Business Summit was the Norway Chess Summit, where I would get to see in person Magnus Carlsen, the best chess player ever, playing chess. But it was 4 plane rides, like, to get to the city that ultimately I would go to. So I really did not want to fly for 14 hours, and they were willing to pay for everything for me. So I at first class. So I didn't want to fly for 14 hours and not be first class. So I had to hurry up and get on the phone immediately to get those first class tickets to a chess tournament in Norway. And listen, this is just like when, you know, you have to know when you want the best of anything, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. And I did not want those seats to fill up. So it's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. I just was talking to a friend this morning where he was trying to decide between some programmers and he waited a little too long and both the programmers he was interviewing took other jobs, like great jobs. So, you know, what's the best way then to hire the best as quickly as possible? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now you could try it for free at ziprecruiter.com/James. Just try it and see. You'll find out. So ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify the top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I know this because one time I signed up as an employee, potential employee on ZipRecruiter, and I got nonstop. Really, I was, even though obviously I wasn't looking for a job, I love what I do, but I just wanted to see what would happen because they were a sponsor of my podcast. And the most interesting jobs would pop up in my emails like, hey, you're qualified for this or that. And so it's interesting to see. So just go there and try it. Try ZipRecruiter.com/James. Amp up your hiring performance. Now, this is more for if you're hiring, but amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/James. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/James. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Like, if you were to move out of the metropolitan area, where do you think you would go?
Well, if I can convince my wife, and that's another conversation, but I would like to go closer to the water somewhere. Because I've done this for a long time, I know the areas that I like to live in. The Carolinas being my first choice. I don't want to go to Florida because it's too hot the year round. At least in the Carolinas, you have seasonality, and that's good. But I'm a person that wants to gravitate down to Myrtle Beach. There's an area down there called the Murrells Inlet, which is a real nice area. I've been researching that for years. But anywhere in the Carolinas, Wilmington, Charleston, again, Bluffton, I've researched down there in the last couple of years. I'm getting to an age in my life that I'm not going to be working forever. I got a couple more years to go and then I'm out of here. But, you know, the high taxes in New Jersey, I don't want to die in this state and be paying, you know, $18,000 for property tax on, and when there's no one here to take advantage of the school system. My daughter's in college now, and I truly don't want to live here. And my mom, kind of tying this together, my mom is still with me. She's 97. She's in a nursing home. So I can't go anywhere until she's no longer here because I'm the POA. And so I got to stay here. My wife's parents are gone. My father's gone. And, you know, I can pick up and I can move anywhere and even do my job remotely sitting in my house with a tablet. If I want to work 2 days a week and live in Murrells Inlet and go golfing and fishing and hanging out on the beach, well, why not? You know, let's do it.
See, I think that's happening. Like, people in the past said, oh, I want this and this and this in my lifestyle. And when I either retire or have enough money, then I'll move to a place where that lifestyle exists. But now they're saying, oh, you mean I could choose a lifestyle and live right now where that lifestyle is because I could work remote. I think now that's a big impetus.
Without a doubt.
The taxes are a big deal too, but both in California and New York and maybe some other places. Like, the reason why they're moving to places like Florida or Texas, there's no state taxes. I don't think there's state taxes in Texas. What about, are you seeing any east to west moves or west to east moves? Like, your company's a big company. I know you work in the metropolitan area, but are you seeing a similar exodus out of LA and San Francisco?
I know that there is a traffic lane from California into Texas. I know there's a lot of people relocating into Texas. I mean, Tesla supposed to be moving their corporate headquarters from California into Texas? I mean, weren't they getting Musk to do that? So I mean, that for that reason, I mean, yeah, there's still a lot of people leaving California. I mean, I don't really have any of that business. Does it? I mean, they're not going to call me in New Jersey to get a quite, you know, from California in most cases. But, you know, those marketplaces, Texas is super busy. I mean, it's the second largest state for volume to move into from anywhere in the United States. Florida is the biggest.
Wow. So, and again, I sort of feel like I looked around in Florida at real estate prices. And from what I hear in Texas, everything's gone up so much, both in terms of renting and selling, that I wouldn't make a bet on, if I was investing in real estate, I wouldn't make a bet on those two states right now, just because if they're up 50% already, you can't keep going up 50% every year.
Right.
But it seems like these second tier cities, like, you know, you mentioned like some cities in the Carolinas, you mentioned earlier Tennessee and Nashville. What other cities are there third? Let's say some cities are second tier, some cities are third tier, like maybe Kansas City, Missouri is third tier. Are you seeing people move to any third tier kind of cities?
We get a pretty good push of business for Colorado. That's been pretty popular.
Like Denver or Boulder?
Colorado Springs, Denver, Boulder. I just moved a family out there 2 weeks ago. Bought a nice place out in Jackson Hole in that direction. But Colorado has been real, you know, it's a second tier might be the right way to say that. I mean, we're not getting calls every week to Colorado, but it's not like we're getting once a month. And this is just me, because again, I'm only getting my share of the sales leads here. But Colorado is a pretty popular state to retire to.
Or let's take like Tennessee as an example. So when I think Tennessee, I think Nashville. And I know last year there was a lot of people, that was a place where people were moving.
Yes.
What about the next tier in Tennessee below that, like Knoxville or Chattanooga, or let's say Miami? Are people moving to Northern Florida rather than Miami? Or, what cities are starting to pick up? Is Raleigh starting to pick up even more? Is Atlanta? Is Dallas?
They're pretty stable over the years. You know, the Raleigh marketplace has been hot with corporate business for 8, 9, 10 years right now. A lot of folks going down there, and I know they're doing a lot of growth down there. They're putting up new high schools because all these people are coming in. As far as like Florida, up in the Jacksonville area, Ponte Vedra Beach, there's a lot of areas, nice areas up there to move into. Don't get anything really a lot up in the Florida panhandle. I mean, it's very odd for me to get a Dufuquia Springs or Tallahassee or something like that. It seems it's always Northeast Florida. Orlando's still crazy hot. Windermere, Winter Garden. Still get a lot of people going down to like Bonita Springs, Naples. You know, that area of Southwest Florida has always been a real popular area to move into.
I wonder if those cities are the real estate is also going crazy. Like, I wonder if there's a city where the real estate hasn't yet gone crazy, but you're noticing a pickup in people moving there. Because at some point, people are going to stop moving to Miami. Not that it's not good, but just that the prices are too high.
True. I moved the family up from Bonita Springs up to the city, actually. They're in storage in our facility. And I said to this lady, I go, did you list your apartment yet? A nice two-bedroom. And she goes, no. I said, I'll guarantee you. I said, you're going to sell this in hours. It's going to go in a bidding war once it goes along the market. And she sold the house in a day in a bidding war. She got like whatever percent more. And I honestly got her moved. But the point is that, that was a move that it was a referral from, I moved one of her friends and she said, we're coming back up to the city and blah, blah, blah. So I got that move. It just, that marketplace has been real super hot too down there. The Bonita Springs area, Fort Myers, Naples, that's a real hot area too down there.
What other states are starting to get hotter than usual?
Well, Arizona is still always popular, the retirement area, Scottsdale, if you're a golfer, that's great, no humidity, all that kind of stuff, but it's still hot as heck out there. Tucson, Paradise Valley, they're all nice areas, but it's been pretty stable that way, hasn't really fluctuated higher, though. That's always been a good marketplace, especially for the retirement people.
Like, is North Carolina hotter in 2021 than 2020? Louisiana or Georgia or Alabama, because you mentioned the South, are any of them starting to race ahead of the others?
I think the Carolinas are both kind of on the equal plane. Georgia, again, equal plane. Don't get too many customers that often to Alabama or like Louisiana. Maybe once, twice a year, I'll get a customer in that area.
And when you say equal plane,
other than the Tennessee marketplace has been pretty hot. Kentucky's been pretty well demanded, not crazy, but more in the last year and a half than I had in a while for Tennessee in that area.
And what about states like, this is sort of random, but like Ohio or Indiana? Like, they're not as exciting as moving to Miami, but maybe there's good cheap prices there, and people are moving from New York to there. Although the weather is kind of similar.
I'm sure the housing is extremely affordable there. I'm sure low tax rates for those areas. Again, you would think that I get a lot of customers going to Chicago. Well, that marketplace has got a lot of issues with violence and guns. And I mean, I don't know if you saw over the weekend, I think something like 40 or 52 people got killed over the weekend in Chicago. That was absolutely crazy.
Well, Chicago is definitely another city that has an exodus happening.
Yes.
All the major cities, it seems. And so what I'm trying to figure out is, given that people are moving and given that New York City people tend to have, high incomes, and so a New York City dollar goes a long way in, Florida or Alabama or Georgia or whatever. I'm trying to figure out which real estate markets, you sort of have some insight into early on where people are moving. And I just wonder if there's, if people, like, let's say people used to be most excited about Florida and they still are, but now they're also excited about these other states and you haven't seen that in a while.
Again, the Tennessee and the Kentucky would be two on the list of getting a lot more folks moving to those locations. Colorado, again, yeah, not too bad. But you know, the traffic lane to Texas is just crazy busy. Traffic lane south is crazy busy.
So just like some just like the real estate market in the South, like if so, you take all these states like the Carolinas, Georgia, Tennessee. If you were to, in some of those places, the prices have been stable. In some of the places like I think Nashville, they've been ticking up for a while. But it sounds like maybe one strategy is to look where the real estate hasn't moved so much, but it's in these areas, and then you might see some price action soon.
Right. I mean, once that area gets saturated, you brought it up before. I mean, if they're going up, you know, 30-40%, well, how much higher can they go? There's going to be a top limit on anything. And once they reach it, and then it's going to get, you know, it'll start to notch down again. You know, I don't think this is going to continue well into next year. But as we're going forward with business this season, they're anticipating, Allied is anticipating a record fall. And we have days this month that we've already reached our capacity for our fleet drivers. I mean, there's only so many drivers, obviously, in everyone's company. So they're talking like October, November should have this wave of business continuing through the fall. I hope that's true. It's good for me, of course. But, the information you just said is probably a good idea. Is that, you know, if you're in a certain radius of Fort Myers, you know, Bonita Springs, Naples, you know, you got a 45, 50 mile radius. Well, you go 10 miles further east into a different town, you know, maybe it's just like, wow, you're saving $100,000 on a nice three bedroom house and getting closer to the water. You know, you're going to pay more money in that area anyway. It's just a question of, you know, are you working still? Are you retiring? I mean, a lot of folks, you know, can still work anywhere and get a real good wage if they're working in the Northeast area, if they're getting the same dollars and cents. Well, why not live in Scottsdale, Arizona, and then making the wages that you would in LA or Frisco or, you know, whatever. I mean, I would certainly do that.
Now, what are you seeing anything related to, if anything at all, are you seeing anything related to the rent moratorium? Like, how has that changed what you're doing in any way? Like, because I think something like what I've read in the Times and the Post is that something like 500,000 New Yorkers have not paid rent in the past year and a half. And so how will that affect things, or is that affecting things? Are those people going to move, or are they going to pay their rent, or the landlord's having trouble?
If they're not paying their bills, you know, I'm sure they're going to lose all security deposits and lawsuits and whatever. But I mean, eventually, if they're not planning to stay where they are, then again, we're going to get more business here, and that's going to be good for the moving industry. And it's going to be bad for, I mean, a lot of businesses are going to lose their customers, you know, the restaurant business, you know, the people that work in all the concessions down there. You know, it's nice to go back to the ball fields. I mean, I'm a Yankee guy here and went to a couple of games this summer with my daughter here, but it was like half empty. You know, that's okay. I mean, we're back. You're cheering a team on, but you know, you're looking around and there's seats everywhere open, you know, and, you know, people are not, you know, here as well as they've been in the past. It's just been this, you know, reducing the overall marketplace. And I wasn't aware of that statistics here about the rental people, but you know, if that's going to be true, you know, do they even want to hire a mover? Sometimes they'll just hire, you know, the rider or U-Haul and get a couple guys and move themselves. Well, they're taking a risk doing that because they're going to break their stuff. But, you know, everyone has a niche. You know, hopefully people can still rely upon a bigger company like us to do the services. But there's a lot of good small moving companies too. You got to be skeptical when you talk to these movers. Because, you know, just because you get a price from them that's so much lower than someone else, generally, if it's too good to be true, you know it is.
You obviously talk to a lot of people moving, probably more than anybody else on the planet. You talk to movers, people who are moving out of New York City. And this is a more speculative question, but given what you hear from them, and I know they don't tell you everything and you don't ask them all these many questions about, you know, why are you moving? But what do you think New York City could do to help people to stay? I mean, New York really wants people to stay. Do you think, what steps, like if you were a mayor of New York and you didn't want people to move, what would you do being on the opposite side of where you are right now?
Well, I mean, you know, that's a pretty open topic there. And then you got, you know, people having confidence in like the police. And, you know, I don't want to go into all kinds of politics, but if you're defunding the police and you're not protecting the public, well, why do you want to stay if you're not protecting the, you know, the public? You know, that's kind of my thinking to a certain degree. But as far as, you know, people getting back into the city, you know, if the rents have come down and the landlords should be making these rents affordable to keep people coming or making it attractive to have businesses come back online, and rather than having, you know, two full floors of a, you know, of a high rise for IBM, well, maybe they're going to get one floor back and, you know, the guy's going to work some kind of deal with the landlord and, you know, maybe that will happen. It's just, you know, the incentive to come back there has got to be based upon, you know, are you better off sitting at your house, doing your job, and maybe having more time for your kids if you're in a house in New Jersey or in Duluth, Georgia, or wherever you want to be? You know, it's nice to be able to stay at home rather than driving crazy, or you got to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, you got to be in the office by 7, you get home at 8 o'clock at night, and you don't see your family for 10, 12 hours a day. Well, that has to have some bearing on whether or not you want to even work in the city. I'd rather live where I live right now. And I got a, no, not a huge backyard, but I got a nice backyard and I can come home. I can sit on my deck here. I can talk with my wife, my daughter's away, but I'd rather do what I'm doing right now, kind of going into my older years of my career, you know, than worry about driving, you know, 150 miles a day, which is what I was doing for years. Wow. Driving into Long Island, driving into the city, driving up to, you know, Greenwich. I used to do a lot of work up in Greenwich, still do, but I don't haven't really been driving at all, other than just, you know, once in a while, people will say, you really got to come out and look at this. Senior citizens that don't have the technology. And I'm not really a big tech guy, but, you know, if you don't have FaceTime, if you don't have Zoom, I can't do my job. I got to come out and talk to you then. And I still don't have any problem with that, but I'm still wearing the mask. I'm fully, you know, the shots. But those people in the city, you know, and really to try to get people to come back in there, they got to drop the taxes. They got to obviously make some kind of a incentive to, you know, why do I want to drive in from Westfield, New Jersey to the city when I can stay in my own house in Westfield? What's the incentive for me to come back and do my job in a city when I can sit in my house and do it? You know, so I don't know what the answer to that is.
You make a good point about crime because, look, the guy who was just elected mayor, or at least he won the Democratic primary, which means he'll almost certainly win the general election for mayor of New York City, Eric Adams, who's been on this podcast as well a couple of times. He, you know, he was for 24 years, he was a New York City police officer. So I think the public voted that they're concerned about crime. That's a big issue for them because crime went up, you know, considerably. Yeah. So look, I hope for the best for New York City and I hope people don't move as much, but I'm happy for you. And you've helped me several times move. And I know you always have a lot of interesting, you know, information about where people are moving and what people are saying. And so Bill, I really appreciate you coming on the show and giving us your insights and they're valuable, not only from a lifestyle perspective, but a perspective on what's going on with COVID in these major cities. And also maybe even a potential investment perspective. So, and I know that's not your area of expertise, so you're not making any predictions, but it's interesting to hear which is what's more popular than it has been and what's more popular than other states and so on. So thanks so much, Bill. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for the invitation and good luck in the new home. And when you're ready to move again, you know who to call.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.